Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to Arauco's second quarter 2022 results conference call. Today, we have with us Mr. Gianfranco Trofeo, CFO of Arauco. We'd like to inform you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a question and answer session. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this call, please press star then zero to reach the operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that this presentation contains forward-looking statements that are based on beliefs, assumptions, and expectations of the management of the company based on current available information. They involve risks and uncertainties because they relate to future events or expectations and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Arauco and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. For further discussion of these risks and uncertainties, investors should refer to the quarterly and annual Arauco filings with the Chilean CMF and US SEC. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements due to new information or future developments. Now I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Gianfranco Trofeo, CFO of Arauco. Mr. Gianfranco, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thanks. Good morning. Welcome everyone to this conference call for the second quarter of 2022. As usual, we will start with the highlights of the quarter in page four. We can see there that our revenues went up 6% to up to $1.87 billion. We had a net income of $304 million, which is 7.7% lower than last quarter. Or adjusted EBITDA went roughly to $600 million. That is about 5% less than the previous quarter. Also, we are going to talk about the MAPA project. Currently, we had a progress of 97.5%. Our net debt to EBITDA went down from 1.71 to 1.64 times. On our last 12-month adjusted EBITDA went up to a record level of $2.79 billion. That is a 2% increase quarter over quarter. If we move to page five and see the evolution of our adjusted EBITDA, we can see that we have had three good quarters. One that the last quarter of 2021 and the first and second quarter of 2022, very similar to them. This quarter, our margin of EBITDA was 32%, and we can see that the wood products got a $358 million of EBITDA and pulp division 281. In terms of the changes from the previous quarter, we can see that pulp division EBITDA went down by $45 million, basically to a decrease in 13.7% in sales volume that was offset by a increase in wood products EBITDA that went up by 8.1%. That is $27 million. This was explained by a 5.7% in average prices increase and a 2.7% increase in sales volume. Looking to page six and looking at the income statement, we can see that the $304 million obtained in the quarter, that is a reduction compared to last quarter, but 51% higher than a year ago, where we had a net income of $200 million. We're going to talk about the specific lines of this income statement later in this presentation. Just to focus on the non-operational part of the net income, we had a higher financial income, explained by higher interest rates, average interest rates. We had a stable financial cost of about $46 million, an increase in participation in profit from associates from $20 million to $24.5 million, basically explained by better results of our affiliate Sonae Arauco. We had lower exchange rate losses, $2.4 million compared to $19 million loss in the first quarter of 2022. Similar income tax of about $75 million. Now, if we move to page 7, we can discuss a little bit the top lines of the income statement. We discussed our revenues went up 6% and 20% compared to 1 year ago. The increase in revenues are explained by an increase of $17.7 million in pulp, already explained by a 12.5% increase in prices, offset by a decrease in 8% in sales volume. Our wood products revenues increased by $88 million, that is an 8.6%, explained by a 2.7% increase in sales volume and 5.7% increase in prices. As you can see in the graph there, now our wood product division has a share of 59.3% of total revenues and 40.7% from the pulp division. In terms of cost of sales, we had also an increase of 9.2% or equivalent to $93 million compared to the first quarter. Mainly due to adjustment that we made in the forest valuation, increasing the forest valuation of our forest. We had also higher sawmilling costs because of higher volume of sales in the wood products division, and also chemical and energy cost increase in the pulp division. If we look at the unitary cost of production, there we can see that we had an increase of 12% in hardwood. Sorry. And a 6% increase in hardwood. The increase in softwood was basically explained by a unitary cost increase during the month of May because of problems with productions in the Nueva Aldea mill. We had a stoppage in there, and then we had a fire in one of the transformers that prolonged the stoppage for some days, and we lost production there. And also, in the variable part of cost, we had more high energy and chemical cost. And the explanation for hardwood also has to do with Nueva Aldea, because we had two lines, one hardwood and softwood. So the loss of production there and extended maintenance caused a higher unitary cost during the month of May that impacted the average cost of the both fibers. In terms of the cost of dissolving pulp, we had a loss of production during the quarter because of a fire that we had in Valdivia that we're going to talk later on that affected the drying machine in that mill at the end of May. Moving to page 8, we also see that we had a 9% increase in distribution cost. Here we have more or less a stable volume of sales in all markets. But we had an increase in freight cost and also an increase in port services. That put more pressure in our distribution cost for the second quarter of 2022. We also have more costs associated with truck land transportation in North America. In terms of administrative expenses, also we had an increase from $140 million to $158 million. Dollars quarter over quarter. Here, the main explanation is about $10 million that we paid more in computer services because of the payment of some software licenses that is done once a year. And in this case, the annual payment came in the second quarter, and that affected the administrative expenses of that quarter. Also, we have higher property taxes and municipality rights by about $3 million during the quarter. In page 9, looking at the other income line of the income statement, we had a income of $89 million compared to $82. The main explanation is an increase in gains from changes in fair value of biological assets. This, again, done because of the revaluation of the forest that we did during the second quarter. And we had a decrease in compensated data, a decrease in gains of sales of assets, because in the first quarter we had they accounted the gain of the sales of the forestry properties that we sold last year, and we sold a portion this year, and we had a gain of about $20 million in the first quarter. And we didn't have that on the second quarter. We only had a small sale of the gene plant in the USA that we obtained a $6.5 million from the sale of that during the second quarter. Now going on the line of other expenses, here we have a big increase from $28 million to $59 million. The biggest part of the explanation goes to an increase in operating expenses related to plant stoppages. Here we have two things. The first thing is the provision for dismantling of the line one, Arauco line one, that we provisioned $6 million for the expenses that we think we're going to make during the dismantling. And also we chart in this line the fixed cost and the depreciation of the Valdivia mill that was stopped during the quarter because of the fire. So there's a movement of expenses from cost of goods sold to other expenses. That is $9 million. So those two explain $15 million from the 17.6. Also, we had an increase in $10 million in loss of reserve of assets. Here we made a provision of the deductibles of the insurance, the property insurance associated with the Valdivia fire. We have a deductible of $3 million and then a first self-insurance retention of $7.5 million that we made a provision on that line. So that explains the increment. Now on page 11, we move to the review by business segment and we start talking about the pulp division. Here we can see the evolution of the PIX pulp indexes, and we can see how prices have moved during the quarter, and we can see that prices in Europe continue to go up during the quarter. We are seeing their list prices, and we have more stabilized prices in China, especially in softwood, but prices of hardwood continue to go up during the quarter. The spread of fibers in China was about $123, a little bit less than the previous call. And also we see a spread between the prices of pulp in Europe and China on a net prices, not list prices, that is about $40 to $50. So prices are higher in Europe at this point than China on a net basis. Talking about demand, we can see that shipments of bleached chemical pulp went down by 1% year over year the first 5 months. But we had a decrease in China of about 11%, compensated by some increases in other Asia and United States. In terms of days of supply and stocks, we can see that the stocks of BHKP went up 44 days. We're talking about global producer stocks, so the whole supply chain, and the stocks of softwood went down to 38 days. In page 12, we can see the reduction of adjusted EBITDA to 281. That is a 13.7% decrease, and also a 14.8% decrease compared to a year ago. The basic explanation here is we lost volume. We sold 8.4% less, and we also had higher unitary cost of production. That's why our EBITDA went down. We can see also in the graph below the production and sales, we had lower production lower sales also compared to last quarter, but we were able to reduce stocks because we sold more than we produced during this quarter. In terms of production per fiber, we had higher production in hardwood, stable production in softwood, lower production in unbleached, and also in dissolving pulp because of the stoppage of Valdivia. In terms of the market during the quarter, we saw price increases due basically because of supply issues related to logistics, some inflation and restricted supply. Finland affected by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, so they were not able to get supply for wood for short fiber, so they moved to producing softwood. In China, the market is affected by some restrictions of mobility related to COVID-19, But that has reduced the lead to a reduction in activity. Even though the prices rose during the quarter because of lack of supply. So that's why we saw, especially in hardwood prices, going up during the quarter. In Europe, as I mentioned before, the demand is very strong in every type of fiber, leading to higher prices, allowing the hiking cost to be transferred to the final products. The demand for dissolving pulp remained. Prices increased a little bit, but as you know, we didn't have sales during the later part of the quarter because of the stoppage of the Valdivia mill that we're going to discuss later on. In terms of the pulp outlook, market looks stable, continue to be at a higher level. The summer season, as you know, is normally slower, but so far it's not affecting prices. We have some bad news about the low growth in the second quarter of China's economy. The COVID restriction continues, but the inventories are low, especially in hardwood. So we see that the prices continue to go up. If you see prices, we ended the quarter with $865 for hardwood, and we were able to raise prices to $885 in August. So some increase in prices of hardwood. Softwood remains stable with a little bit lower sales in terms of volume, but continue to be a little bit above $1,000, which are very good prices for historical levels. In terms of pulp mills, so days of stoppage, during the second quarter, we had the stoppage in Nueva Aldea, the stoppage in Valdivia, again, caused by the fire, and we had a normal maintenance stoppage in the Puerto Esperanza mill in Argentina. For the third quarter, we had a program, the Arauco Line 1 stoppage, and we are going to continue working doing maintenance in the Valdivia mill as the mill continues to be stopped. Now on page 14, moving to wood products, we had a very good EBITDA during the quarter, $360 million. That is another 8% increase from one quarter and a 40% increase compared to 1 year ago. Here we had a very good increases in prices of panels, 15.5%, and a little bit increase in volume, 1.6%. Of course, compared to 1 year ago, the difference in price is huge, it's 52%. And in solid wood, we had a very good quarter in terms of increase in volume, 5% increase, and a little bit of increase in price of 1.3%. Again, to 1 year ago, we had very good increases in prices. So the market continues to be good, and we are enjoying very good EBITDA from our wood division. Page 15, we can see the production and sales, and a little bit of sales in panels, very good production of 1.5 million tons. In some timber, an increase in sales from 550 to 600,000 cubic meters. And in plywood, we had more or less stable production compared with sales, 135,000 cubic meters. Page 16, looking at the outlook, and starting with our main market, which is North America, where we sell roughly 60% of our production. We are seeing good markets in MDF. Consumption remains solid. Most applications of MDF are demanding good volume. We are seeing, nevertheless, more balanced supply and demand. We used to have more orders than supply. Now we are seeing more balance than the last 12 months. So mostly this market could be softening a little bit in the future. In the short term, very good demand and prices. In particle board, we have seen some weakness demand, mainly driven by the OEMs, I mean the cabinet producers and furniture that are consuming less because they are seeing more increased inventories in the supply chain. In the West Coast, there was a fire in the Martyr particle board mill of a competitor, and that is affecting supply in the West Coast, so improving prices there. In terms of remanufactured products, we had some late shipment arrivals concentrated in some months, so and a little bit of slower demand. But fundamentals at the end consumer remain solid because we're still seeing good repair and remodeling. Housing starts were strong until June, and we saw a reduction in July. But we see that once the inventory in the supply chain is controlled, the market should be fine for the rest of the year. So we are seeing some decrease, but mainly because the market received a lot of supply that was delayed because of supply issues. And for plywood, the markets should remain stable for the rest of the year. There's lower supply coming from Europe because of the crisis between Russia and Ukraine. So we are enjoying a very good niche market for plywood in North America. Page 17, now going to other markets, is Central and South America, that gets 28% of sales. We are seeing a slower demand than last year in Brazil, more supply coming from DF, that is pushing the companies to try to export more from Brazil, and that is impacting other markets as that supply goes to the U.S. or Mexico. For Chile also, the construction sector is lower during 2022, but prices have remained stable. This year should be worse than 2021 in terms of construction. In Argentina, the market continues to be strong during the second quarter, and we expect that to continue for the rest of the year. And moving to Asia and Oceania, that's 10%. China is complicated because of COVID restrictions, and so the demand for especially lumber in China is going down. So we're seeing some decrease in volume and prices there. And now in market, good demand and given the current geopolitical situation. The only comment in Europe is that things look good, but I mean, because of the energy crisis there and the coming of the winter, the situation could change that. And we are looking what happens to the demand, especially for paper producers of some electricity restrictions that could appear at the start of the winter. Now moving to the free cash flow, page 18. We had a better cash from operations quarter, $480 million than last quarter. We had a lower cash spent in investment activities. This is basically because we had a little bit similar CapEx, but we had the income coming from the sale of forest that was signed in the first quarter. We got the cash in the second quarter, and that is netted there in the $330 million. On the other side, we paid dividends. We paid $192 million of the definite dividends of 2021 in the first quarter. In the second quarter, and that impacted the cash from financing activity. So at the end of the day, we had a negative free cash flow of $89 million. You can see there our net debt went down from 4.686 to 4.586, but basically it was explained by exchange rate variation and some accrued interest variation. Page 19, our cash and liquidity position continues to be very strong. We ended the quarter with $900 million in cash, and our committed credit facility of $335 million completely available. We haven't dispersed this credit line. So a total liquidity of $1.27 billion. In page 20, looking at the evolution of our net financial debt, it has been more or less stable, but we have enjoyed a better last 12 months adjusted EBITDA, and that's the basic explanation of the reduction in the leverage from 171 to 164. You can see that total debt went down from 5.75 to 5.48. In page 21, our debt amortization schedule looks very good for the coming this year and the next. So we only have $273 million to pay this year and $200 million for next year, which is basically bank obligations related to amortization of Montes del Plata, basically that's ending the payment of the structured debt next year. And the big amount is due in 2024 which is basically related to a bond maturity of $500 million that is due in 2024. Now moving to the material facts and news, starting with the MAPA project update. Here we're showing the areas that are already in commissioning stage works. In orange, you can see the news from this quarter. The other ones are the ones that are already working or testing equipment since the first quarter. So we already started using the workshop and warehouse. We made a successful baler machine test at the end of the line. The wood preparation area is ready, and also with wood ready there. The lime kiln is in operation, and also the beam assembly for the road access and the railway has been completed. At this point, we expect that the first bale could be produced around the end of October. So it's 1 month delayed compared to the last quarter. And the basic explanation is that we have one construction company that is delayed, that is in charge of constructing the end of the production line, basically the dryers, and has been delayed. The other construction companies have already completed the work, and we're waiting for them to complete the final stages. As you can see there, the picture, the mill looks almost ready to start production, but we still have some days to complete the final testing of equipment and construction. Page 24, you can see some photograph of the Aireth Lagoon, the road access to the mill that is being completed, the internal railways that are inside the mill, the wood yard that already has a stock of logs there to start production. In page 25, the wood preparation area, the dryers, which is the part that talked that is needs some completion, the water treatment plant and the cooling towers that is ready, two generators also ready, and the recovery boiler, power boiler, and the meat plant compressors that are almost ready to start production. So that is about MAPA, still waiting, but we hope that we can finish soon and start producing in this mill. In page 26, we have other things. As you probably knew, we signed an agreement, a collaboration agreement with the government of Mato Grosso do Sul in Brazil. It's an important step for starting the evaluation of building a new pulp mill in Brazil. This will allow us to start the environmental impact studies and some of the economic feasibility studies that we need to evaluate this project. If the conditions allow it, the construction could start at the beginning of 2025. And at this point, we think that we can have a capex of about $3 billion. That will be, of course, checked once we have more engineering done for this mill. And we expect to have a production capacity of 2.5 million tons of short fiber. We expect to bring this for board consideration probably at the end of 2024, once we have the engineering, economic feasibility, logistics studies, and things that we are working currently. So a big important step for the growth of Arauco, planning for future addition of capacity in Brazil. Now, regarding the Valdivia pulp mill, as I've mentioned in the presentation, we had a fire and at the end of May inside the drying machine, and we had to stop the mill immediately. The situation was addressed by personnel and with safety protocols. We had no people with injuries, and we were able to control the fire, but the drying machine was affected, and we had to stop production. So we are doing all the repairs to try to bring the mill to production as soon as possible, but this takes some time. We have to replace a lot of parts inside the drying machine. So we are carrying in two stages. We are making a temporary repair that will allow us now in the coming probably 3 weeks, starting in the middle of September, to produce at about 80% of capacity. And we will produce at that capacity to be able to bring volume to our clients.
Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. It appears we lost connection to our speaker location. Please stand by while we reconnect. Thank you. Please proceed.
Hi. Sorry. Yes. Sorry for the interruption of the communication. I was talking about the Valdivia mill. So, sorry if I repeat something, because to be sure that you got all the information. As I told you, we detected the fire at the end of May.
inside the drying machine of Valdivia. So we had to stop immediately, and that produces some problems with some of the parts of the drying machine that we need to replace, and that takes some time. We are doing the repair in two stages. We're going to hurry to bring production to 90%, replacing some of the parts once we construct the rest. And we're going to be able to restart production on 80% capacity in mid-September. We're going to work that way until the more or less February, that we're going to stop for 2 months to make the final reparations to bring the mill to 100% starting in March, or beginning of April. This is all covered by the insurance policy that we have, and that's why we make some provisions about the deductible. But we are working to bring capacity and production as soon as possible, and we will get the mill production. Okay, so this mill, as you know, is producing dissolving pulp at a capacity of about 500,000 tons per year. And we are trying to recover the production to be able to serve our customers that are waiting for us. Page 27, just to mention that we are able to pay all our local business licenses in the places where we have production facilities. In Chile, you have to pay these licenses depending on where your address is. Some of our affiliate companies had an address located in Santiago, so we moved that address to Arauco in this case, and now we are paying 95% of our local licenses and patents in the regions where we have production. But this is a good part of our ESG efforts to bring our taxes closer to our production facilities. The other thing to mention is that we have recently published in August our 2021 sustainability report, available in English and Spanish. So it's good that you can read it. It's available on our website, so you can start reading about the ESG efforts that ALCO is doing. Some of the summary of that ESG report is shown in page 28. You can see what the impact that we have in terms of forest that we manage and produce and manage renewable forests. We invest $10 million in social investment. We had a net capture of 13 million tons of CO2 equivalent in 2019. We preserve 30% of our forest is native forest that we preserve in 168 areas of great biological and social and cultural conservation value. Also, we have a very big employee count of 18,000 employees. We have more than 14,000 suppliers. We were the first certified carbon neutral forest company in the world. We have more around 5,000 customers in five continents, and we have made a good effort of reduction of 55.6% in our non-hazardous waste from the pulp division. Of course, we are very happy that we create products that make people's lives better. We use 100% renewable raw materials. We produce 3.6 million tons of pulp. That number will go up as we start producing in MAPA. We produce 12 million cubic meters of lumber and lumber products. And we, of course, have a capacity of producing 780 megawatts of green energy from our biomass. That is the numbers that you can see in our sustainability report with a lot more information about how do we help in this area. Okay, so ending the presentation and before the questions and answers, just to mention the most important takeaways, we obtain another very good financial results in an environment of high volatility and generalized logistic complexity. So we're able to deliver good results again in this quarter. We had the highest last 12 months adjusted EBITDA on record, and that helped us bring the lower net debt to EBITDA to 1.64 times. And of course, we continue to work hard and committed to the sustainable management of operations while creating a maximum value for forest heritage. So please see our sustainability report that we just published. From the second year in a row, we are carbon neutral. So we're very happy to announce that. And also, of course, we will talk about the numbers for third quarter, but in the mid-November of this year. So I hope that communication stays stable so we can get into question and answer. Thank you.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions from investors and analysts. If you have a question, please press star one on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star two. Questions will be taken in the order they are received. We do ask that you, when you pose your question, you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Please hold while we pull for questions. Our first question comes from Isabella Vasconcelos with Bradesco BBI. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and good afternoon, rather. And thank you for the opportunity to ask questions. I have a couple on my end. So first, on pulp market dynamics, you mentioned that the market still looks stable at a very high level, but I wanted to get a little bit more color on the softwood side in China, if you're already feeling some pressure for pricing discounts, and also on the European side, if you could comment a little bit on how demand has been evolving and if you are registering any weakness at the margin. And the second question on the Sucuriú project, I'm not sure if I pronounced it correctly, but just to get a bit more color also on the forestry side. So there has been a lot of discussion recently on wood availability in the region. So to the extent that you can comment, of course, if you can tell us a little bit more of how your studies in the region in terms of forestry based development is going. These were my questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Isabella. Well, regarding the pulp market dynamics, yes, we have seen more pressure on softwood and hardwood in China. Currently, we have seen some less demand in terms of volume, very limited reduction in prices at this point. So we have been able to maintain prices, but we got lower volume on the demand side. Hardwood is different. Basically because of some lower supply, but we were able to raise prices in hardwood. We are in the middle of the summer, so it's very quiet right now regarding China. So we have to see what happens next month in the next negotiations to see what is the mood of the Chinese buyers in terms of getting more volume or try to reduce prices. Okay, in terms of Europe, the market looks very hot. I mean, in terms of demand is there, but the risk is high also. I mean, we know that what's going on in terms of increasing in cost of energy there. We are in the summer, but we see the risk of some energy restrictions that could make some paper producers to stop production in some areas. And that is going to put a lot of pressure in demand for pulp. We know that inflation is high, costs are high, demand is currently good because it's summer. I mean, the away from home demand for tissue has been very good because of a lot of travel in Europe. But we know that this could change very quickly in Europe because of the energy restrictions and all of that. We still see that clients have been able to pass higher prices of fiber to for paper. So paper prices have gone up in Europe. We're seeing that, but I mean, the risk is high. So we are cautiously optimistic on that. We know that things could change very quickly in Europe. Anyway, we sell about 17% of our production in Europe. So it's not so important. China for us is more important than Europe. And now regarding our project in Brazil, yes, of course, I mean, the cost of wood, the supply of wood is a very important part of the decision of building this mill. We already have 40,000 hectares of plantation of hardwood in that area in Mato Grosso that we bought many years ago. But we need to complete to get to about 250,000, 270,000 acres of plantation to supply a mill of the size that we want to build. We have time for that, of course, so that we need to start planting, and we are evaluating different alternatives of acquiring or controlling land in Brazil, because you know that there's a restriction from foreigners of controlling rural land. So we're making different types of joint ventures or arrangement of long-term rental of land in order to plant that. We are currently evaluating the cost of the land, the cost of the rental, the planting cost, and putting all that in our equation in order to be sure that the project is economically feasible. We know that prices of wood have gone up in Brazil. We are enjoying part of that because of the forestry operation that we have in Paraná. Basically softwood, but we're getting very good results because of good margins of cost of wood. So it's an important parameter for the equation and in valuing the apartment that we're going to construct.
That's very clear. Thank you.
Once again, if you do wish to pose a question, please press star one on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Hernan Sislak with MetLife. Please go ahead. Pardon me, Hernan. It appears our questioner disconnected. Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then one. Showing no further questions, this concludes our question and answer session. At this time, I would like to turn the floor back over to Mr. Gianfranco Cifeo for any closing remarks.
Okay, thanks again for the time. And any other further questions, of course, you can call our investor relations team here in Chile. And we'll hear again in mid-November for the third quarter results. Thank you and have a good afternoon. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This concludes today's presentation. You may disconnect your line at this time and have a nice day.